Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, poured up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
Good evening, community of faith.
Hello, hello, everyone. We are so glad to be with you.
So? Have you stared the devil in the face lately? I sure hope so. No. Has your heel? I refuse to have that false doctrine mentality in my life. Has your heel stared the enemy in the face lately? Because Jesus has put all of His enemies under His feet. And so do you and I get to.
Hello, hello, Phyllis. So good to see you. Hello, Francetta. Hello, Felicia. It's so good to see you guys walking the door. Hope you had a great day.
Wow. So? This is what we have to say. Glory be to God. We're going to a new level. Anybody going with us to a new level?
Hi, Rebecca.
Wow.
It's good to see your smiling face, too.
I'm working real hard to make my face smile, but I'll get there. All right. I think we're here. Make sure everybody invites somebody.
Amen, Dan. Glad we're all here again giving Jesus praise. Hallelujah. Rebecca, I'm going to a new level. Amen. I just got some wonderful news. My dad had had a lesion on one of his kidneys for quite some time. And then today he had an MRI done, and there is no lesion, and all of his blood work is good, and everything is perfect. So I'm shouting hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And thank you,
hallelujah.
Lord.
Living strong.
Thank you, Lord.
Living long and living strong. Does anybody know where we are yet? Wow, just work.
No, but what did everybody have for dinner?
I command to work.
We're at our healthy juice again. We had our day off yesterday for Pastor's birthday and ate Chinese food, but today we're back at it. Back at the... It is a miracle, Rebecca. I'm so excited. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been a beautiful day today, Phyllis. That's a good thing.
Sister Phyllis, I don't know if you heard it, but last night for supper, I had sushi and crawfish. Is that what they call them, crawfish?
Yeah.
I had sushi and crawfish, and I haven't even have a picture to prove it.
He did. He took a picture of them, smiling at him. You had delicious chicken noodle soup. Yum. By the everyone I like and behind everyone in faith, but I won't be pushing the buttons much. All right. Cabbage soup.
That's an interesting statement, Brother Dan. You might need to push a few more buttons and let me know how. Well, yeah, I won't be pushing. Does that mean you're not going to be making many comments tonight?
You're now over your jealousy.
I like and am behind everyone in faith. All right. But I won't be pushing the buttons much. All right. Love you all. Amen.
Francetta, I'm with you. Yuck, sushi and crawfish. I know I had really wonderful other food. Broccoli and green beans and hot and sour soup and yum.
I'm now over my jealousy.
Cabbage soup really is better the second day, isn't it, Francetta? That's what Pastor and I are going to finish up the month with is cabbage soup. And tabbouleh.
Oh, all right, then. I knew tabbouleh was coming, but I wasn't quite sure about the cabbage soup part. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we go. Cabbage soup and tabbouleh. I like it. They're both delicious.
Like she has what he say. Yeah. Tell her she should be fasting with you, Rebecca, and then she wouldn't have a problem with the groceries. We prayed for your leg on the morning program too, Francetta. You are healed in Jesus' name. Tell that pain to get off of that knee. Lay your hands on it and say, pain, be gone, and every cause of it.
Wow.
In Jesus' name. Watermelon for supper and ham salad sandwich with chips. Yum. What is tabbouleh? Tabbouleh is a Mediterranean, it's parsley salad actually is I guess our term for it.
It's amazing.
It's really got
a lemon, garlic, oil.
Yeah.
Oil that goes on it. And that lemon, garlic, oil, Leanne knows how to do it perfectly. I've had tabbouleh in a lot of places. And didn't necessarily care for it, but she's got it down. But it's amazing. And it's got diced up chunks of tomato and cucumber and radishes and What else?
There's no radishes in it.
There's no radishes in it?
No.
Well, the next one will have radishes.
We can put radishes in it. Yeah, it's parsley, and you can use bulgur weed in it. I usually use quinoa just because it's healthier. And tomatoes, diced tomatoes, yeah, and cucumbers, green peppers, green onions, and there's mint in it.
It's amazing.
Very, very good.
If you have a Middle Eastern restaurant in your community, more than likely they'll have it. And it's one of those dishes, if you eat it the first time, well, probably whenever you get, if you like salads, first time you eat it with somebody that makes it good, you're like, oh my, I could eat that all of the time.
And we do.
Yeah.
We'll make a huge bowl of it and we just sit and eat it.
Yes, it's a salad. Yep,
yeah,
it's a salad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a salad.
We eat a lot of salad and we like it.
We do.
We have another salad that we make, and every time we make it, it's gone in about a big, huge bowl of it. It'll be gone in like 2 days.
That's the broccoli and cauliflower
salad. Broccoli and cauliflower salad.
I sent the recipe. Everybody asked for the recipe.
Amen. So, Phyllis, I thought about you last night when I was eating my yesterday afternoon when I was eating my birthday dinner. And when I first went up to the buffet, there's no crawfish here. But we got there before 4 o'clock, so supper wasn't out. But the next trip up,
that's right.
You had crawfish and roast beef and then a big piece of salmon on the other side. Glory, hallelujah. So the crawfish were fresh and the roast beef was amazing. All right, well, we'll see you guys later. We're going back to the Chinese restaurant. We'll fast tomorrow. Yeah, there's some good. Where's that one Mediterranean restaurant? We ate at one in we ate at one in like Ann Arbor or somewhere.
Yeah, and they're all over Saginaw and Midland. And
yeah, they're if you find a good one.
There's one that's called Papa Falafel or Apa Falafel. That is really, really good. That's in Midland for all of you Michiganders that are near.
Apa Falafel?
Yeah.
It's awful falafel.
Yeah.
Here we are all fasting and we're talking about food.
That's how it goes. That is how it goes.
Y'all got to stop talking about meat. I'm already second guessing with three.
I missed that comment. Salad. My daughter said that I didn't eat any meat.
Felicia, seriously. Don't worry. We're all there. Who was it we heard talk about fasting? Dr. Summerall? No, it wasn't Summerall. That said, I'm a mess when I start fasting. And they said, yeah, that's right. That proves the case.
Yeah.
Was it Jesse or Andrew Womack? One of the two.
Boy, I don't remember.
But this is what you find. If all of a sudden when you start fasting and you start becoming a big old nasty mess of yourself, what you are seeing is where you're really at.
Yeah, you try to do.
And you know what that means? Deal with yourself. Deal with yourself. And do it boldly and do it out loud. And do it as often as yourself shows up in the way. It was Jesse to plan. No, was it Jesse? I think it was Brother Jesse that said, yes, you're fasting and you're grouch. It's letting you know who you are. I don't know who said it, but I sure should have tagged that message so we could all laugh together.
Oh, we ate at the Chinese buffet, Francetta, and they have crawfish on the buffet for some reason. They did have some other types of food on there besides just Chinese.
Wait, Felicia, I wasn't calling you a mess. All right. I wasn't saying that you're a mess. I was referring to what that preacher said about that one person in his church that said they were a mess. Because, of course, we are not a mess.
Hmm.
Oh, it's very...
too funny. They Felicia, you should try some of the... If you go to the store, they have vegetarian burgers, and they really are good. But the one that tastes most like burger are the Impossible Whoppers.
We're not quite sure what chemical they put in those Impossible Whoppers to make them taste that way.
I've read the ingredients, and it's all healthy.
All right. Well, she knows.
No chemicals.
Now, just so everybody knows, I want to encourage some of you and to go wide open crazy on yourself and say, I'm going to give you a day, body, of no food at all, just water. I mean, nothing, just water. But I'm going to tell you something. Your body's going to revolt. And it's not going to revolt because it has to have it. It's going to revolt because you've actually given over to that so much that you have it. I know you take a Southern woman who's used to meat at least twice a day to no meat. It's the craving out of the crust.
It is with all of us, even the fancy.
The children all say, Mom is looking for meat. Stay away. She could chew on you.
I like Rebecca's statement. It's so funny. My daughter looked at me funny at the store because I had a lot of healthy food. She said, what am I supposed to eat? Tell her a little health food will do her good.
For all of you that's dealing with the meat situation, just take about 3 weeks, and every time you want meat, eat quinoa. It's actually better protein for you than meat.
It is. Or eggs.
And when you feel like chewing on something and ripping it with your teeth, just chew on your dog.
Most of our dogs chew back, so.
Okay. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. Everybody's like, do you see anybody laughing, Pastor? Nobody's laughing here.
Okay, Francetta, my leg. My earphones went out at the noon meeting, and I had to clean a house. Can we pray again for my leg?
Amen. Amen. Yes, we can.
Blood saturation, and it's still 96 to 100% healed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is what tonight's whole program is about. I apologize we came on late. I turned my computer on, and it just sat here looking at me as if it had its own set of eyes. And so we're going to get started here. We'll abbreviate some of our other stuff. Thanks for being with us. Those of you that came on and wondering, like, what are these guys talking about food and fasting for? This is a cooking program.
Yeah.
We cook food here. And, you know, Brother Bill's coming in a minute, and he's going to have 3 cups of diced onions and a tablespoon full of minced onions. And we're going to put them together and make you the most amazing meal you've ever seen.
Amen. That's really good, Francetta. Don't even think about what we're not eating daily. I'm eating good.
I'm eating good.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, one of the things we learn in the Christian life is we got to learn to look at it and laugh instead of look at it and cry. You got to learn to look at yourself and say, you know what, self, you're in my way. Get out of the way. I rebuke you, self. I rebuke pride. As a matter of fact, I'll talk about myself right now. Rebecca, it's not just birthday joy. I just have the joy of the Lord, and it's not going away.
Amen.
And I am determined in this fast that I'm going to deal with every bit of pride on the inside of myself.
Me too.
I'm going to deal with every bit of me that is hindering me from going where I see God wants me to be. And, you know, I spent many years fasting. Ever since I met Dr. Barclay, I started fasting. and very organized fasting, very specifically beneficial fasting. And many times I wouldn't make it, and I would be discouraged about it. But this year when we studied spirit, soul, and body, I realized, you know what? All of those years, there's nothing else to say except my spirit man was not high enough above my soul and my body. And that's all it is. And there's only one way to get it there, and that's through spiritual work to get it there. The natural man cannot put his spirit above his soul and his body. That's only a spiritual process. And that's what you and I are learning. And what did Felicia say a minute ago? I didn't mind learning about my addiction to sweets. But this? Wait, Dr. Barclay said one time, one year, he said, I thought I had a battle when I quit nicotine. You ought to try quitting sugar.
Yeah. Ooh. Can I give up TV for 2 weeks instead or layaway? What are you going to do with layaway for 2 weeks, though? It's a long time to keep him caged.
Layaway, we love you, buddy. If it gets bad, jump on the train to Williston, North Dakota. We'll take care of you for 2 weeks and then send you home.
Give Mom a chance to get over her meat and sweets.
Well, you know, one of the things we got to come to, you know, just an understanding of is our appetites are going to try to control us.
Yeah.
And we've got to be in control of our appetites. And that's a challenge, but you can do it. The part about this fast I just like the most is black coffee.
Oh, I just wouldn't even go there.
But I don't know. I'm not quite sure who said anything about black coffee for the fast.
Well, that might be something she gave.
Oh, sweets. Oh,
this sweet. Yeah, just don't even mess with that coffee then. If it's not like a milkshake, you don't want to drink it.
but really, every night we've talked about this, and it is in order in God, because we are going to a new level of Him. We're establishing our faith in God, in His Word, not in religiosity. And I don't know if you're fighting the battle as much as I am, but bless God in heaven, we win. Matter of fact, I was starting to tell you, when we put the worship on tonight and I began to focus my mind on worship, I said to myself, self, like Moses, and Moses was old and full of years, and God said, right, Moses was old. And so Moses wrote, I was old and full of years. I was frustrated on the inside while I'm worshiping. I'm like, Lord, Father, what's wrong? And he said, you're trying to come to worship with pride in your heart. And I'm like, whoa. Well, I don't. Say, wait a minute, I don't want pride in my heart.
I don't want pride in my heart.
So I went out and knelt down in front of the TV, not bowing to it, but like I had me an altar right where the music was coming up. So I'm kneeling there and I'm like, okay, well, help me see what this pride is you're talking to me about. He said, well, think about it. When you come into worship, a period of time of worship, and all you can think about is yourself and what you're dealing with, when the time is designed to be with me, you're actually functioning in pride. And I'm like, wow. So what have we been learning this week? Yes, sir, I agree. Thank you. I appreciate you telling me that. I agree. Thank you. I agree. Pride, get out of my life. in the mighty name of Jesus. You don't get to control me. I will not be controlled by you. We're learning it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Now, we said to Francetta we were going to pray. Did we ever pray?
No.
Francetta, obviously we're all in pride talking about our own fast and our struggles and forgot to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak over our sister Francetta and everyone else who is dealing with a physical pain in their body. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak to the bones. Lay your hands on your bones, on your knee, and just command it. In the name of Jesus, knee be healed. Because Jesus took stripes. Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside, producing life from the inside out. Because you, Jesus, came to heal the brokenhearted and the broken knees and set the captive free. And
Amen.
We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Now, put your hands on your knee and say, ligaments, be healed. Cells, be healed. Tissues, be healed. You know, be healthy. Be whole in the mighty name of Jesus. And unlike one brother told us, fell down and his leg went this way and his knee went that way. He said, I just got back in my pickup truck and started praying in tongues.
Yes.
And by the time he got to his house, he got out of his car without even limping.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's somebody, he had knee problems.
Knee problems his whole life, yeah.
Yeah.
So we speak it over you, Francetta. Receive it in Jesus' mighty name. I can feel the anointing flowing. That's the awesome part. I think that all of us have a new level of joy. All of us do. Every one of us. And I'm going to tell you today, my challenge has been this stinking technology. And it doesn't matter. We win. Win. I would fast technology, but that doesn't work because that's how we bring this message to you. And it doesn't matter. We still win in Jesus' mighty name. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside your mortal bodies and mine, producing life in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
Now, you know, for Sister Felicia, as she's fasting meat, on those moments when you feel like picking layaway up and chewing on him, make you a fried grilled cheese sandwich. But see what we're doing? We're replacing one thing with another rather than saying, shut up, body. You don't need that. Woo! He's preaching now, isn't he? Love, I didn't get any shares sent.
Oh, I got one sent to Roger.
All of my names are so far away, I can't get to them.
Okay.
Al? I have zero. Oh, I sent one to James Denny Jr. because he was close.
Phyllis is already here.
Phyllis is here. If you see one of your favorite COFers that's not here, send them an instant message saying, hey, we're missing you. So that we get everybody here tonight.
Who else do you send them to? Gary? Wes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just everybody. Sunday, Chris. Mary Pastorick's here.
Angie. Oh, Mary is.
Yeah, started. Welcome, Mary.
I just sent you a
But I'm here anyway.
Yay.
Thank you, Mary. We love you. Francetta, we love you. Sister Felicia and Rebecca, we love you guys. Dan and Gwen sitting there listening but not typing. We love you. Yeah, but That doesn't work either. Well, I don't know. It's all right. We win. It's just the start. We can do it. We can edit all of this off and then head right into the Word of God. I really want Roger with us because we're talking about his confession to get him over to the next level of picking up that inheritance. I had and I'm still having issues with Facebook. Well, oh, that's the other thing we need to talk about. Today at the noon program, and this is probably going to take us clear till the top of the hour. At the end of the noon program, several of you received warnings from Facebook about comments that you were making, all right? Did you send those to me, those pictures you took?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody pause. Let me just read them. All right. So I really want us to focus on this for a minute, and we can be wise as a serpent. I shouldn't do it here. All right. Well, thank you, Holy Spirit. I received those words of instruction, and we'll just keep right on moving just like we are. Wow, wow, wow. My goodness sakes alive. Well, Dr. Barclay was warning us last night that it was going to get frustrating. And don't expect frustration. Rebuke it every day. But at the same point, don't be discouraged if frustration comes to you in the middle of you doing the things of God in your life, because it's a real battle that we're in. It's a real battle. So I want us to pause for just a minute and just worship a little bit, because in everything that we do, Jesus truly, he alone is worthy of the praise and the honor and the glory. And in every part of our life, you and I got to just learn the process to slow down and get our life in our hands and then establish ourselves in faith.
Amen.
Establish ourselves in faith. And I just want to worship the Lord for a minute. You ready? Father, in Jesus' name, we worship you right now. Thank you for these platforms, Father. Thank you for YouTube and Facebook. Thank you for Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for our email, Lord, and Instant Messenger. Thank you for all of our friends we've met on the Community of Faith. Thank you for our Community of Faith page. Thank you, Lord, that we all have internet, that we have the ability to connect to one another. We just pause right now, and we know, Lord, that you are the ones, you're the one that designed this technology so that in the end times, we, the church, could spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world and change millions and billions of people's lives every day. And we give you the glory and we give you the honor. We give you the praise, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us from destruction. You redeemed our lives from destruction. We stop now like David and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I bless your holy name. I bless your name, Lord, and I remember your benefits to me. You forgive all my iniquities You heal all my diseases. You redeemed my life from destruction. You satisfy my mouth with good things. So my youth is renewed like an eagle. You execute righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You made known your ways to Moses and your acts to the children of Israel. And then you brought your Holy Spirit. And he lives on the inside of us. He lives here and he reigns here. Jesus, we name you Lord in our lives right here, right now, out loud, publicly, unafraid, boldly declare, Jesus, you are my Lord.
Amen.
You are my Lord. And you are worthy of all the praise. We give you glory and honor. What's that song, All the Glory? Oh, Lord, we praise your name. There you go. There you go. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hearts toward heaven. We exalt your mighty name. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hands to heaven. We exalt your mighty name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hearts toward heaven. We exalt your mighty name. You deserve the glory and honor. Lord, we lift our hearts toward heaven. We exalt your mighty name. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you, for you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. We worship you,
Jesus.
We worship you. We give you honor and glory. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you the praise. Thank you, Father, that you fill our mouths with the word that we have in our heart. It flows up out of our mouths so that we can be a blessing to you. We can lift up your great, holy, wonderful, awesome, mighty, magnificent name. Magnificent name. We glorify you. We give you glory and honor and praise. Let's pray in our heavenly language a little bit. Shamando klasitipa rangadimata. Andenomana. Ava Stanebulata Kadavidisima. Ambronde de Baba la Sita Vedekada Vadanonkita. Endando Basha Kleva di Bradomana Vedemana Sukata. Endombrandide ve Bala Sana Ma Kididomdata. Enderemana Bade Balasati. Ombra Sakalanando Vedevedisipe. Ando Stekalama Nebronde. Andevri Salamana Kideva. Andolema, andereba sikedeba, ambrandusebe, andedebede, bandola, shamanaka, tibadadoma nevika. Glory, 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 glory. Enemandu kudeba, enobolenema, baledesi, tidibanandu buku. You are worthy. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, you alone are worthy of all the honor and the glory and the praise and the might and the dominion and every breakthrough that we have in the mighty name of Jesus. 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 Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening tonight. Speak, Lord. It's up. Here I am to bow down.
Here I am to worship.
To worship. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon the cross. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I called upon the name of the Lord and I am saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Jesus, tonight we just pause and we worship you. We let those rivers of living water flow up out of our innermost being, creating life as the flow flows. Here we are again tonight. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you tonight, Jesus. We thank you for the blood that has made us whole. We thank you for your righteousness that you just gave us. And all we got to do is receive it. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And all we've got to do is receive it. And your word. And we receive it. And we stand on it. And we go to war for it. And we give you glory. And we give you the honor. And we give you the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout glory hallelujah or something.
Glory hallelujah.
Did I miss something?
Right.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if somebody said something and I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we just glorify your name. Well, here we go. Are you ready for the word? Let's get into the word.
Hi, Sunday girl.
I've got to, take us to a new place, right? And we got to go there spiritually, and then the rest of it all follows. So, here's what we're going to do. Anybody seen Brother Roger?
Not yet.
All right. I want Brother Roger here because we're going to be talking about his, isn't that something? Wow. Wow.
Damon, I'm ready to go. Damon.
Well, here's what we got to do. We've got to go to this next level in the Word of God. And we're the deciding factor if we're going to get there. At every juncture in the path, we've got to say, Lord, take me in. Or we got to say, Lord, please help me get up in there, because God's always taking us from glory to glory and from faith to faith and from grace to grace. And he doesn't seem to grow as slow as you and I do. Does that make sense? YouTube is live if you need to be there. So what are we going to do? We've got to go on up and go on in. And so I'm going to need to have another Zoom conference call with you guys that is not broadcast live, so we can talk about some ways to get up to the next level that I'm not going to put out there for everybody to hear us. All right. And so We're going to just say, Holy Spirit, lead us into that, because I can tell we got to get it done, but we're live, and I'm not going to put this out in front of the whole world. So, glory, hallelujah. We'll pull up the notes now. How many of you noticed last night, having Dr. Barclay preach to us and minister to us, we got, when we were finished, we were like, wow, that's a major revelation. And then we were like, wow, but I don't feel discouraged. I feel encouraged. What you see is the gift of the prophet out of Ephesians chapter 4 was flowing very, very powerfully. And that's why we enjoyed that level of breakthrough, that level of order and strength and God's grace. But then again, on this side of today, we're reaching for that same level where he was. And I'm going to tell you, he's at a pretty extreme level of faith because he's fought for his faith for 40 years and has fought to be in that position. Now, just follow me for a little bit. You'll see where I'm at. The other night, as we were there, as we're working on Roger's declaration for his inheritance, that was taking us all to a new level of understanding. Whenever we get there, you and I got to look at the faith process and say, hold it. I'm going in and I say, body, don't oppose me. Soulish realm, get out of my way. My spirit, man, can see that this is where we're going and we're going to get there powerfully. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you got notes from the other night when we were talking about receiving the inheritance, I encourage you to go there, all right? Pull those notes out. And we're going to deal with that again tonight and talk about those verses again tonight and the process of getting this into our heart and into our mind. So, here we go. Say it with me. I am receiving my inheritance.
I am receiving my inheritance.
Amen. Amen. Let's grab a couple quick verses. And the first place I want you to go is 1 Peter. The first place we're being led to go is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. When you get there, hold your Bible up and we'll make our confession about the word, because the Bible says that we get the fruit of our lips. I think sometimes people wonder why I actually have us say so many verses out loud. You and I get the fruit of our lips.
Amen.
If we're not speaking the word, then you get the word. Ready? Say it with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word
I
says.
Am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit
is making this word come alive.
Is making this word come alive.
In my life tonight.
In my life.
I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my
producing
heart.
A hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
My spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Father, I pray now. I can see where you want us to go. I know the verses. I know you. I know the Holy Spirit. Tonight we declare, I declare, this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. We will speak specifically by the Spirit of God, the Word of God that transforms us into a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Somebody shout a big amen.
Amen.
Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, and I've titled this tonight, Establishing Your Faith Confession Process. Establishing Your Faith Confession Process. 1 Peter 1:3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You and I have all been born again because Jesus was raised by the dead by the Holy Spirit of God. Our number one most favorite verse in the community of faith, and that is Romans 8:11. Since the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives inside my mortal bodies, my mortal body,
yeah.
That same Spirit
yeah.
gives life to my mortal body. Amen? That's how that works. Now, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, there's been many people that have sang the song, I've got a mansion just over in glory land, and I'll have a mansion just over the hilltop, and build me a little cabin in heaven. And they've sang, can you heat that up for me, please? They've talked about their little cabin or their great mansion in heaven. Well, guys, that's good, but the inheritance that we need right now is where we need it, is here on the face of this earth to get our work done so that on this side of heaven, we could get a mission accomplished. It's been probably 2 years ago now. The Holy Spirit gave me this statement one day that I was studying inheritance. He said to me, he asked me a question. What is it that an heir of a sizable amount of wealth gives himself to every day? Let's say we'll use something everybody can see and understand. Let's say the heirs of Billy Graham's estate. Billy Graham's estate, when he died, was worth $100 million. And you might say, my Lord Jesus, why, I can't believe Billy Graham was worth $100 million. Well, what that is the proof of the Word of God that says, he who reaps receives wages. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 10. Now, what was it that Billy found? Billy Graham found his inheritance on this earth, what he was supposed to do. And when he did, God got involved. And when God gets involved, abundance happens everywhere. Billy Graham was never kept from one place that he was told by God to go, even behind the iron curtain, even behind the bamboo curtain. God took Billy where God said he was going to take Billy, provided abundantly for him, and there was never any lack in Billy Graham's ministry. Well, now that I got to Matthew chapter 10, I don't see my verse. Somebody look it up. He who reaps receives wages is what it says. I'll look it up. I declare tonight it's John chapter 4. There we go. You guys all knew it was John 4. Why didn't you say something? Yeah, there you go. It's just, yeah. John chapter 4, verse 36. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Father. I receive it. All right. Let's go to 34. And we're going to go down to 38. John 4, 34 through 38. Watch this. What we're talking about is receiving an inheritance. Brother Roger received an inheritance from his mother. All right. Her estate. And from that inheritance, he's got money. Well, watch how this works. We have an inheritance that fades not away, but it's reserved for us in heaven. But we need it on earth. Look at this verse, 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months. And then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about reaping souls. He who reaps receives wages. You see that? Do you see those are red letters?
Yes, they are.
Those are red letters. Jesus made this statement. So as we reap souls, we're supposed to reap wages, receive them, and we're gathering fruit for eternal life. That's your crown that's in heaven. Now let's go grab another verse here. When we start dealing with this inheritance process, many people are like, well, are you just another money-grubbing preacher? This ain't about money-grubbing. You can't preach the gospel without money. You can't have a happy home unless you have a job and some money coming in. Our Father wants to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 19. Oh, Jesus. Now, some of you tonight, I can tell you're like, where are we going, Pastor? This is what I need from you. I need your help tonight while we're going to say, Lord, help him get there. Father, help him get there. Philippians 4:19. Just keep praying all night, Lord.
Help him
get there. Because I know where I'm supposed to be. I know where he's led me to. And we got to lay a foundation to get there. And so I'm encouraging you to join with me. Oh, that's what I was going to tell you guys earlier. I need you guys to be the ones that put the verses in. Sister Leanne's going to stay focused on YouTube. And I'm really going to depend on you guys and Facebook. You ready? Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, Pastor, what's he talking about? Verses 10 through 20, Paul is talking to the Philippian church at how much they came and helped him get things established and in order in the church, and brought money to help it do it. Here's what many people don't realize. Paul was in prison when he wrote to the Philippian church. People call this the most beautiful of the Pauline epistles. And it was written while he was chained to a wall in the basement, the dungeon of the palace, standing knee deep in sewage. And he wrote this epistle. Paul is saying, my God supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Say this with me. I have an inheritance.
I have an inheritance.
Yes, you do. And it fades not away. 2 Peter chapter 1. Come on, just say it with me. Father, please help Pastor get there. Amen, amen, amen. I'm getting there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We got to get this nailed down on the inside of us. As his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Holy Spirit's power has given unto us all things. What is a thing? Do you need a new Bible? It's a thing. Do you need a new phone? It's a thing. Do you need some new glasses for the house? It's a thing. The Holy, I want you to see this. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life, that's you and I living on this earth, and godliness. Not just life and not just godliness, but that comes to us through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now follow me. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. The only way to become a partaker of the divine nature is to get this book down in our heart. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. Let's go to that chapter. All right, Sister Leanne will preach for a minute. Come on. We might be fasting, but it don't matter. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart will speak. Amen.
Do you need that verse?
No, I got it. Matthew 15, and we're going to go to verse 18. All right, then.
Just the water.
Yes, right now. No, that's all right. But thank you. Appreciate you offering it to me. But those things in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this word comes forth tonight unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. In Jesus' name, body, function properly. Voice, be strong and clear. Now, in the name of Jesus. Verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Now, what we're learning how to do is to use your faith like a weapon, like a wrench, like a utensil, like any valuable part of your life that you use to make life work. We're getting ready to learn how to use our faith like you use a flipper to turn your fried egg, ham, and cheese sandwich. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. A spatula, screwdriver. Look at what it says, verse 18. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. How did they get in my heart, Pastor? Because you're just a bad person. No, that's what religion would say to you. No, somebody schooled you, and you spoke those words, and they went down in your heart. And you heard your mama say it, and your daddy say it, or Aunt Mabel, or Uncle Charlie, or the pastor, or your boss, and they said it over and over and over, and you heard it, and you saw them with your eyes, you heard them with your ears, it went down in your heart, and now that word is sitting down in your heart. So now, when you're pressurized and squeezed by life, here comes the words. What are they? They're words that have been put down in your heart, and they're coming out of you like you actually believe those words. But any of us who look at those words come from the wrong side, we got to look at them and say, wait, that's not me. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Now watch this. The next verse now goes to the positive. We were in the negative, but 19 is the positive. For out of the heart, whoops, that's not the right verse.
I was going to say, that's not too positive there.
Where's my verse at? Bob, I thought I had my verse. Didn't you think I had it? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Somebody find that verse. So, all right, we win this battle tonight. No, it does not matter what's going on. We win this battle tonight.
Luke 6:45.
Well, keep your finger in Brother Matthew, because I'm coming back there because it's powerful. Still waiting on the house. In the mighty name of Jesus, Brother Chris, we declare ain't no more waiting on that house.
Till tomorrow.
Till tomorrow or next week? What was your reference again?
Luke 6:45.
Wow. Here we go. It's 43 through 45. A good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his good heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his evil heart brings forth evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Everybody say it with me. Help us, Holy Ghost.
Help us, Holy Ghost.
We are getting there tonight. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. So if you see things coming up out of you that don't match this book and don't match exceedingly great and precious promises, don't match hope, which is that confident, absolute expectation it is happening, and your faith speaking to that mountain and moving, you got to see what's in your heart and what you don't have removed yet by the word of God. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
What some people have in their heart right now is their spirit, man, is wide open for God, but their heart is filled with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Does that make sense? Your training made your heart, your inner man, filled with the world, the flesh, and the devil. But your spirit man's been born again. You've been made a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. But you still got to deal with what's been put down in your heart. And that's where Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, woo, we're doing this. Glory be to God. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, 12:1-3. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Say it. No more conforming.
No more conforming.
To this world.
To this world.
I am transformed to the Word.
To the Word.
To the Word. Amen. I'm not going to conform to the world. I'm going to transform to the Word. Since the old things have passed away, then why don't that stuff pass away too?
Question,
well, that's a very good question, Sister Felicia. And we'll all tune in a minute, and you can give us the answer. No, Pastor, I asked the question. Well, the Bible says all things are made new. But did you notice the next day after you were all things made new, you still had something come up, and you're like, I'm new. Where did that come from? It came from things that were put down in your heart that are not God's word. That's why
trees.
Verse 2 says,
trees, guys.
They're what?
Trees.
They're trees. That's why verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. The world's way of thinking. Do not be conformed to this world. Be ye transformed. I want you to look at this verse with your eyes. It answers her question. Be ye transformed. How? By being born again.
Leftover junk in Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday said it. Leftover junk. But see, this verse doesn't say be transformed by being born again. This verse says be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing it. It once was new, and now it's got to be nude. We can't say that word that way.
It's a whole different conversation then.
Your brain has got to be made new again, all right? And in so doing, now we start dealing with all those trees that's in us. Ready? Let's just take a real quick, I'll finish the verse. That you may prove, a renewed mind will prove to you and to other people, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's why these messages are so important at the beginning of the year when all of us are fasting. Oh, Jesus. Malachi chapter 3. I want you to look at this. Right now, we're going to judge ourselves so that we will not be judged. All right? 3, and it's verses 8 through 12. Thank you. Malachi 3, 8 through 12. Let's just read it. Will a man rob God? And like Vanessa said, well, yeah. But not if he knows what he's doing. Yet you have robbed me, and you say, in what way did we rob you, God? And he said, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, everybody just pay attention. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be food in my house. And look at this next verse. And prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. When you bring your tithe, present it in the ministry, you have a responsibility to God to prove him to be true in this verse. I will open for you the windows of heaven. Say it with me.
Hallelujah.
The windows of heaven are open for me.
The windows of heaven are open for me.
Yep. Look what it says. And pour out for you such blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it.
Hallelujah.
How many of you still have some room to receive some blessing?
I have plenty of room. Fill me, Lord.
If you feel like I'm belaboring this point, I am. But we got to see the process. We got to get the process down. Because until you get the process down, you're going to still be looking at these enemies, hoping and praying they leave, but they are not actually going to leave until you look at it and say, get out of my life or get into my life. Watch. I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there will not be enough room to receive it.
Amen.
If you still have room to receive it, then raise your hand. I'll raise my hand here. If you still have room to receive it, where'd my hand raising go? I've lost my hand raisers.
Oh, no.
Don't we normally have a hand raiser?
Yeah.
There we go. See, what are you saying, Pastor? If all things were made new, meant absolutely everything about your mind, your will, and your emotions, then you wouldn't have to renew your mind. Because it would just be all brand new. And you and I can look right here at these verses and say, wait a minute, I'm a tither, but I still got room to receive it. I mean, in the day we live, in the bank accounts we have, you can have a pretty big pile of cash and still have room to receive it because you can always start another one. There comes a point, I'm sure, that there's people that's like, well, all right, what are we going to do with this money now? But you and I are a ways from that yet. But according to God our Father Jesus, this should be happening when we tithe and sow seed into the ministry. So what are we going to have to say, Pastor? There's something about God's word that we have to learn, that we have to study and show ourselves approved of and get those trees up out of our life. We got to get it out. Deuteronomy 28, just keep going. Deuteronomy 28. Let's just keep going. You might say, well, was that all about the tithe, Pastor? Well, the bottom line is God has promised us. Well, what, Felicia, I'm going to tell you what's going on. God has taken all of us to a new level to,
yeah,
right here in this. And this new level is causing us to be very uncomfortable because we can see where we got to go. And the frustration is, how in the world am I going to get there? And there's only one way it's coming, and that is by the renewing of your mind. Now, you can ask Sister Leanne. During a day go by in this house that I am not diligently pushing and grabbing and pulling, saying, windows of heaven, open up so that we have this abundance and I don't have enough room to come to receive it.
Yeah.
Why? Because it says it in the book. It's got to be in my life. And now I'm going to renew my mind so that whatever's inside of me, that is resisting God taking me there. Because in heaven, you and I are already there. The inheritance is already ready in heaven. It's waiting for us to receive it. But you can't receive until you get revelation that tells you what to grab a hold of, so you got revelation. Deuteronomy. Did I not give us verses?
No.
I will get you signed verses. Deuteronomy 28, and we're going to read 1 through 13. Now, wait. Some of you are like, Pastor, Felicia just said it. Why do I feel so out of sorts tonight? Because we're all going to a new level.
Yeah.
Every one of us are going to a new level. Last night was so good and so powerful. Why? Because Pastor's at all of those levels we're going to. 2.5 hours with him, and it's like, woo!
Yeah.
That anointing on that ministry, we're like, oh, yeah, this is good. Now we're back to dealing with our life saying, wait, I got to change me. And I guarantee you, if it hair lips the booger man, I'm going in.
Amen.
Amen. Deuteronomy 28:1. It shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands which I command you today, the Lord God will set you high above all the nations of the earth.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's just ask the question. In our daily life, are we high above all the nations of the earth? The answer is, in heaven, yes. On earth, maybe not.
Working on it.
Say it with me. I am diligently working on it. See, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. I'm talking about one of the most difficult things you can talk about right now, and that is Christians getting more money. I've been around this kingdom now for 59 years. Christians having money divides and separates and destroys because people want to stay in false doctrine. But you can't not. You cannot preach this gospel around the world unless you have gospel preaching around the world finances.
Bookerman?
No. Booker. B-O-O-K-E-R. Bookerman. You might say, Pastor, let's go back and talk about end time events. Well, this is what's going to make the end time work. We're working with Brother Roger to get his inheritance here, without having to go into a legal battle that eats up all of his inheritance and the lawyer makes all the money. Have you ever been there? Mm-hmm. See, faith moves the mountain. Faith will say to the sister, let go of the money, take it out of that bank, and put it in Roger's account today. That's what faith will do. However, what you and I resisting that faith will do is cause us to be resistant. Some of you, I know, I can tell the whole spirit of tonight is, where am I at, Pastor? I'm trying to hook in here. That's why we stopped and worshiped. Because where God is taking us is to deal with our heart. What most Christians don't want to admit is that we got to deal with our own heart rather than having God do all the dealing for us. How many of you ever said this? Well, I decided today that I'm just going to lift my hands and say, God, it's all yours. You deal with it. And we've all said it. And then God said back from heaven, whether you were listening or not, no, son, that's not for me to deal with. That's for you to deal with. I can't make you get rid of that out of your heart. Only you can. Amen, tithe. Amen, tithe. Tithe. Amen, Francetta. Now, I want you to see this. Because I'm not, even though she's telling us about tithe there in her life and the blessing of it, amen, I agree with it, did it with no question. It's, I can say it works. Now watch this. Oh, Jesus, help me. Woo! Here's the reality, guys. There you go. Thank you, Felicia. Come on. Thank you for being honest. Number one, thank you for saying I feel out of sorts. Number two, thank you for saying I didn't realize the depth of bitterness I still had. Now, wait. Some of you might say, I don't have any bitterness. Well, is that God help those that help themselves? Well, yes, but God's finances are so much bigger than you can make on a job. Let's add everybody's job together right now and add up all the money that all of us together make right now. If you gave your whole paycheck to this church in every session, it would not be enough to do the work he's already assigned us to do. Everybody listen to me. We are at the very crust of this message right now. Crux.
The very what?
Center, core. Watch. If all of us added up all of the money that we make every week and turned it all into the ministry, that is not enough money to do what he's already showed us to do.
Amen.
What are we going to do then, Pastor? We're going to figure out God's way of money. Because it's not you go to work and slave like a dog, give all your money to the church, and live a broke life while the church prospers. That's not God.
That isn't a verse, Chris.
What's a verse?
God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah, that's not a
that
verse.
That isn't a verse in the Bible.
That is not a verse in the Bible. You can't find any verse that says those words. But the Bible says that if you don't work, you don't eat. Right?
Right.
The Bible says a lazy man, a sluggard, will stop that. Now, everybody stay focused. Because, woo!
Yeah.
We're going to a new level.
Everybody just hang on to each other.
Ready? Put your hands up. We're climbing the hill on the roller coaster. It's more fun when you have your hands up and you go over the other side. Put your hands up. No way. Because here's where we got to go. Because God's going to take what we have and do what he wants to have done. Everybody watch me. This isn't a message on tithing. This isn't a message on giving. This is a message on we got to get the roots of the trees out that resist God's ways of doing things. I want you to hear me. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking. If you don't like where you are in any place of your life, listen to what you're saying out of your mouth. And then say, Holy Spirit, show me every statement I'm making that doesn't match your word. No, this is the message on learning how to get the word down in your heart. All right? What this is about is you and I will always produce the same things we're producing right now today. Until you change the amount of word you put in your heart to change your situations by what comes out of your mouth. Everybody say it again. Lord, help Pastor get there. And help me to get there with him. Now watch. This is a message on tithing, if God's speaking to you. It's a message on sowing, if God's speaking to you. It's a message on receiving, if God's speaking to you. But the crux of this message is establishing your faith confession process. Well, Pastor, I don't even believe we need to have one of those because I just live for Jesus, and whatever he wants me to do, I'll just do, and it'll always be done no matter what. No, 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 and no. Because there's places where God says to you and me, take that mountain. And that mountain is bigger than you and me. And it's going to take you tithing. It's going to take you sowing. It's going to take you speaking. It's going to take you praying. It's going to take you serving. It's going to take you to read in your Bible, speak in your Bible, worship in the Lord, all of it. And the mountain is still going to stand there. And you got to still look at it again and say, God, why didn't you move that mountain for me? And God's going to say, I never told you I would move the mountain. He said, God said, I want you to move the mountain. Woo! I got that from when Peter was in prison. He could not free himself, and God sent angels. Then said, put on your shoes. Yes, he did for himself. Amen. He did for himself that part. No, that ain't about repenting or nothing. That's just about you're using it very specific in a very specific situation. There's a lot of people that just say, well, if I'm helping myself, then everything's going to be all right with me. Well, that's very true. It's a very true statement. But that statement people make is not actually in the Bible itself. Right. It's not a verse in the Bible.
Right.
All right. So you don't need to be. You need to be re-educated, Mary, but all of us need to be re-educated. All of us do. All right? So I don't know if it's about repentance. It's about thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. Woo! Let's stop for a minute. We got to add some more diesel fuel to the big John Deere. And we're going to keep plowing this land. Now, I got all the way through verse 1. Let's go back here. Matthew chapter 13. Hold your place in Deuteronomy. We'll never have this message done. First, Brother Roger, this is going to be an 8-hour message tonight. Sunday, I didn't see your 2 Timothy verse, but if you throw it in there, was a little of that on target. Oh, yeah. It's very much on target in what you're saying, Mary.
Yeah.
It's very much on target in what you're saying. My point is, that is not a verse of scripture. God helps those who help himself. All right? Now watch. Oh, and we definitely believe it. This was my new level when I came to you, COF. Amen. Amen, son or Francis. That's very good. Now, I do that, and I'm going to have a severe case of self-loathing and bitterness, word vomit going on. So, let's go to Matthew 13. You got to see this picture. Verse number 3. And we're going to read down through verse number... Behold, a sower went out to sow. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm sowing seed. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. What is wayside? Where people walk. So the sower is sowing the seed in a garden. In the garden, it's all tilled up in soft soil. But this soil, some of it, the seed fell on wayside. That's the place where people walk. Well, what happens to the dirt where people walk? It's packed down. It's hard. It's solid. If you're running a wheelbarrow on it, you want it solid. But if you're trying to get the seed to grow, the seed can't grow. Watch what it says. And the birds came and divided the seed. If you have wayside soil in your heart, I'll preach the greatest word in the world. The seed of land, it has no ability to grow, and the dirty bird of the devil will come and take it away. Verse 4. Verse 5. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Watch this. You can't sow seed on a rock pile. You can't sow very good seed in a gravel pit. Right?
Right.
I worked on a farm that was built on a gravel pit. Had a 5-acre field. We'd take five hay wagons full of rocks off it. My God in heaven. Every year. But it still grew corn once you got all the rocks off. In our life, what's a stone? Something that's hard. Something that's hard. What you got to do? You got to get it out of the way. There's only one way you're going to get that out of the way, and that is confront it with the word. Renew your mind. Put the word in your heart. Speak it out of your mouth. And then that hard thing goes away, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is speaking. Wow. See if we can say it again. Woo, Jesus. Everybody say it with me. Father, help Pastor get there tonight.
Father, help Pastor get there tonight. But hallelujah, Francetta. That's awesome. Hallelujah.
Wow, that's amazing. Hey, well, now look, that is exactly the God kind of money that we're talking about. But here's the deal. I want us to see this picture. Oh, Jesus, help us see the picture. Everybody say it. Lord, help me see this picture.
Lord, help me.
Woo! See this picture. Am I supposed to say to Francetta, give me all that money for the ministry? What's the obvious answer?
No.
Francetta stepped out and tithed. God cut her payment in half. Now watch. Everybody pay attention. These are the kind of things that God wants to do to prosper us so we can build the work of the ministry. He already said he wants us on all of the Wilkins radio stations. That's $13,000 a month. If we pulled in all the money everybody made right now, we might not reach $13,000 a month. Well, Pastor, then where's the money coming from? You and I are going to sow a seed, just like she said. God's going to do something big. From that seed, you sow another seed. From that, you sow another seed. And the seed and the harvest gets bigger in ways you don't know. And everything about your life is the biggest miracle you ever saw in your whole life. God gives you opportunities. He gives you investments. You buy things and sell things. And our lives increase. But remember, this message isn't about money. I'm not teaching about money tonight. I'm using money as a reference point to show what we got to do to get God's will to come to pass in our life. You got to get the wayside soil out of your life. That part of you right now that's just like, I don't get it. I don't know where you're at, Pastor. I don't think I can know where you're at. I'm just going to go do something else, and I'll come back tomorrow when you're preaching about something I like. No, that's wayside soil. I am sitting here in front of you today by the instruction and the assignment of God to get this done in this ministry. We got to go to the next level in this. Because you can be very Community of Faith Religious. I paused so everybody look up like, what did he say? I'm not religious. Wait a minute. What we do can turn into a religious pattern that has no power. We can't do that.
We won't let it.
We won't let it. Amen. You should have seen the look on her face. Like a bulldog. See, I'm not teaching about money tonight. I'm using money as a reference point because it's the one place the church is not perfect. And actually, it's way below the standards of Almighty God, including me and my own house right here, that we fight for this thing every single day. Every day. But this message isn't about money. This message is about what is coming up out of your heart that you got to get changed, and how do you change the stuff that comes up out of you that doesn't match this word? You have got to take the word of God, take those verses, speak them out loud in faith, and then they go down deep inside your heart. That's how it works. Go with me. Hold your place now. I don't know. I'm in so many places. We don't know if we'll ever get back. Go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And let's do verses 10 and 11. Amen. Well, there's the testimony, Francesca. There's the testimony. Tonight, we're not preaching about money. You can't just part love. Yeah, you can't just love part of the word. Amen. Yeah, but that's just how it works. Here we go. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Well, Pastor, I would never wander from the commandments. I know, as a spirit man. But until we get that soul, our mind renewed, the mind fights the word of God. The mind wants to wander away to the paths that are out there in this world. Keep watching. Verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you, that I might not wander away. How does the word get hidden in our heart, but we see it with our eyes, we speak it with our mouth, we hear it with our ears, and it goes down inside our heart? Thy word, I have hidden in my heart. There's a lot of people today that's like, Pastor, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I just can't figure out how to do any of this stuff that you're talking about. Well, that's because your spirit man is in perfect communion with Almighty God. You were born again, spirit-filled, made new in a second. But we've got to renew our mind. That's what the community of faith is all about. The community of faith is about establishing your faith. That's what we do here every night. But if you can, watch this. Here's one of those rocks or wayside dirt. All right? Remember, this word is trying to take root in your heart tonight. It will take root as long as there's no wayside soil, no stony soil, or no thorny soil. It's just good dirt. So right now tonight, I'm teaching you, speak it, get it down inside. And on the inside, you could be saying, well, yeah, I know. All right, well, okay, I know, Pastor. But you know, and what do you start doing? Your mind, it's not you, the spirit. It's your mind begins to put up this opposition to it. And you're like, why do I have this battle inside? It's because your spirit man is in tune with God and your soulish realm is fighting you tooth and nail. Well, it's not your spirit you got to fix. That's fixed. It's your soulish realm that has to come in line with what God's assigned you to do, and this word says is the process to get it. Thy word have I hid in my heart. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, Pastor, amen, Felicia Eicher. I was just getting ready to copy and paste that in there. Except tonight, I had it tonight like I really wanted it to be last night. Oh, my goodness sakes alive.
Did you say we were back to 2 Peter 1?
We are back in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're in verses 3 and 4. Just make it like it's supposed to be already. Goodness sakes alive. Now, exactly why the police had just posted, this is where we are. Oh, Jesus, help us. See the vision? Write the vision. Write the word confession of the vision. Speak the word. Immediately, they were at the other side and receive your harvest. Now, some of it happens fast. Sister Francetta started to tithe, and God cut her payment in half. Here she is blessed. That's not the last one. That's the one of many. That's one of many. Same thing are going to happen in your guys' life in many areas. Last night, we were talking about people getting free from cigarettes. It's not a natural battle that wins this for you. It's the spiritual battle. You have been made new in the spirit. Your spirit man already knows, I got to stop this. We got to now get the word and hide the word in your heart. That word now transforms everything from the inside out. And the more word you get in, the sooner the transformation happens. See the vision? Stop smoking. Write the vision. I will stop smoking this year. 3, write the word confession of the vision. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I won't sin against you. What's that verse about taking care of your body? Jesus. It's Proverbs chapter 4, verses 22, I think it says. Your word is life to those that find them, and help to all their flesh. There's a verse in Corinthians that says, he that defiles the body can defile the temple. Well, Pastor, what about sugar? I was hoping you wouldn't say that about sugar. But yeah, my body is his temple. Amen. Write those words out. But then in those words, add these words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Add this one. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Add those words. All right. Why? Because as you're putting the verses in that say, I got to get this out, you also got to put the verses in that say, I got to get this in is my process, how I win, and then grab the word on immediately how Jesus stopped the storm, got in the boat, and immediately the boat was at the other side. How many of you want to get to the next level in God immediately?
Amen.
Immediately. I don't like this battle where I'm at. Well, if you don't like the battle where you're at, you got to get the word off this page. Hide it in your heart. Because then you won't sin against him. Listen, verse 11 says that I won't sin against you. But verse 10 says, so that I won't wander away from your word. Most of us will say, I'm not going to sin against God. But that message from Dr. Barclay last night was filled with warning for those that wander away from the word. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even want to wander away. But they did. You might say, Pastor, I've been hoping and a praying I'd be healed for a long time. Well, guess what? Hoping and a praying ain't going to get you healed. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I don't sin against him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. You look at the woman with the issue of blood. She had heard about Jesus. And what does it say produced her faith? She kept saying in her heart, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I might be made whole. What was she doing? She was speaking a word from Jesus, the living word, that somebody had said to her that matches the covenant. And in that word got down in her heart. It got down in her heart so deep that even at the case of stoning her, she should not have been in the street. She broke the rabbinical law of being in the street to get to Jesus and got her healing. Why? Because faith grew in her. She kept speaking it. She kept saying it. She said it and said it and said it. And every time you say it this way, it goes down deeper this way. And the more you say it this way, it goes down deeper this way. And the more you say it this way, it goes down deeper this way. And the more you say it, it goes down deeper this way. And once you've packed your heart full, like a silo on a farm, that first load of silage might fill it up halfway. Second load of silage comes in, it's only going to be filled up halfway. Why? Because the weight of the second is going to push that first all the way down. Third load of silage, it's going to be way down. Why? Because it's packing it down tight. And as soon as you fill your heart with the word of God, it will automatically, by nature of filling, drive all the rest of it out of your life.
Amen.
That's why if you're fighting a physical battle, a financial battle, a health battle, eat right, sleep right, drink right, get up and walk and get exercise. But don't do all of that without doing the spiritual side of it, of speaking this word, the very specific verses that match what you're trying to get, and get them down in here, speak them up out of here, and then out of your belly flows that river of living water and begins to produce this in your life. I think we're getting it. What have we just done tonight? We've tilled up some pretty deep, hard soil, some wayside. We threw out some stones. If you got some thorns growing up, get you some leather gloves, pull them babies out. Get your soil just ready, willing, and able to receive any word and say, yes, Lord, speak, Lord, here I am. Your servant is listening. I went straight to money tonight by the leadership of the Holy Spirit because it's the one subject that the body of Christ resists the most. Who's that preacher think he is, being rich? Excuse me. All of our heroes. Billy Graham was everybody's hero because he was righteous and he was holy and he was just. When he died, his estate was worth $100 million. Why? Because of the blessing of the Lord. That was bigger than him having a job and getting a paycheck. Did Billy Graham say when he was 70, I will be worth $100 million when I die? No. But there's nothing wrong if he would have. There's nothing out of order in God.
Abraham was rich.
Think about Billy Graham's estate today. Billy Graham is still preaching on his estate every time somebody walks through one of those buildings. The man's in heaven, but his estate is preaching the same gospel to everybody that walks through there because they got cameras and TVs screens up and messages going. And you can buy his books and you can buy his teachings. Brother Copeland actually has a Billy Graham Classic Hour on his program on the Victory Network. Why? Because he's such a hero in the faith.
Amen.
But if he hadn't learned to go farther than where he was, He would have never left us this legacy to go to the next generation. And look at his son, Franklin, what he's doing. Look at his daughter, Anne. Man, Anne is a praying machine. And now Franklin's daughter, Sissy, is a mighty force in this world. Why? Because the wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But this message isn't about money. God just used money to show us the resistance. It's all right. I'm so proud of Felicia. She said, why do I feel so out of sorts? Because the Holy Spirit is pushing us, saying, I need you at this level.
Yeah, Sunday said it too, and so did Mary. We're moving on up.
We're moving on up. But I'm going to tell you, on the inside of me, I see where God's taking us. But I spend every day saying, God, take us in there. But wait, I want you to see this. Where I'm saying God's taking us is not to money. God used money tonight to show our own selves. Wait a minute. I'm going to have a challenge. I got to grow in this area. The only way you grow in this area is put the word in your heart. In your heart, in your heart, in your heart. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. I hide your word in my heart. Faith comes by hearing. I hide your word in my heart. Give it. If you guys could interpret what I just said, we'd be done. Jesus. Joshua. Chapter 1. This will probably be our last verses. Yeah, Billy Graham scared a lot of people, but that's because Billy Graham preached like a prophet, because he was one. He was an evangelist, but Billy Graham is a prophet, man. Powerful prophet. And those seven men who told him, Billy, wherever you want to go around the world, we'll sponsor you right from our businesses. Those men became multimillionaires. Why? Because he who reaps receives wages, money. He who reaps souls receives wages, money, and gathers fruit for eternal life. Jeremiah. Jesus.
Joshua. Joshua 1.
5-9. Glory be to God. Sister Sunday, I was still looking for that 2 Timothy verse. I receive it. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Pastor, I'm not anybody worried about anybody getting in my way. I know. You know what that verse says? No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life and get in your way except you.
I'm not getting in my way. Oh, hey, she hasn't found me.
All right. The only man, the only woman that will ever get in any of our ways is our own self. And God said to Joshua, no man, say it. Not even myself.
Not even myself.
Woo! I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. Be strong and very courageous for this people. You shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. It sounds to me like if Joshua is strong and very courageous, he's going to conquer that new land. But don't leave out verse 8. No, I'm warm. I'm real warm. I'm not freezing at all. Verse 8. this book of the law shall not leave your mouth. Let me see. No, I'm not froze. All right. Am I froze? No. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Look at what this verse says. But you shall meditate in it day and night. How do you hide it in your heart but by meditation? The easiest form of meditation is to proclaim it out of your mouth. How many of you are getting a better view of the fivefold ministry and the church every single day? Well, why? Because every morning program and most night programs, we're speaking Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9, and verses 11 through 16. We're saying it out loud every night, and that word is going down in our heart and giving us doctrine, giving us stability, giving us solidity, giving us understanding about what the body of Christ is. Meditating in the law day and night. The meditation process is write it out, read it out, speak it out, hear it out. It goes down in. That's what makes it go down in. Look at verse 7, ends with, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8 says, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in there, for then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Well, Pastor, I just thought I just love God and give him some bucks, and then he just makes me rich. Amen. Sing them songs. Sing them songs.
In Hi, Audrey.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
I'm glad you're here.
James, chapter 1. It is in chapter 1. James, chapter 2. Verse 5. It's okay, folks. I know where we are, and I know where we're going. Amen. And where we're going is so that your faith is so established, you can use it like a hammer, a screwdriver, or a wrench. And you can use it in every part of your life to bring to pass the plan of God for your life. James 2:5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? Let's read it again, James 2:5. God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised. Well, what happens if you understand you're an heir of the kingdom of heaven? You're not going to be poor no more. How will a poor person come to the understanding of being an heir unless he uses his faith and renews his mind? It's right in this verse. God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. And of course, if they're born again, they are heirs of the kingdom. If you're rich in faith and an heir of the kingdom, you will no longer be poor. Why did Jesus say to the original, his very first words about who he was, he came to preach the gospel to the poor? Now wait, this isn't a message about money. I'm using money as a reference point that we got to have a better understanding of God. And the only way you're going to get that is thy word I have hid in my heart that I will not wander away from you. Now watch this. We studied it last week. Hebrews chapter 3, 5 times it says, harden not your heart.
Harden not your heart.
Because when you harden your heart, the hard-hearted don't enter in. Paul said in Hebrews, do not harden your heart. Do not have in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And God is using you and me marvelously right here on this program. But where God is taking us to is, what is the faith move the mountain process? Because what changed in you when you were born again and made new is your spirit, man, was brought alive. Everything about your life is made new. But now you got to get the trees out. If you and I will just let the tree go and put God's word in, the tree will go automatically. If we resist the word, then the tree doesn't have the ability to get the root effectively. With whom was God not well pleased? With those who did not mix the word with faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. This is my last verse. This is the last verse. Hebrews 4, 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. See, Dr. Barclay didn't tell us last night, hold on, little children, just survive until the very last day. He didn't tell us that. He said, we are the force that is restraining that enemy. Therefore, you and I got to get our heart full of faith and boldly every day stand against that enemy. But your heart can't get filled with faith unless you take this word that I am speaking to you by the Holy Spirit and mix the word with faith. What is that process? Process. Speak it off your mouth. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, why do you take a thought saying it? The process of the faith getting in your heart is that you take a thought by saying it. That's how you take a thought.
Yeah.
Woo! Can somebody shout, amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
And all of that.
Where God's taking us to is we got to learn this process so that we're not just doing the physical side of the battle. Francetta's going to work. We'll use her story tonight. She's going to work. She heard me say tithe. Holy Spirit helped her see that was from her, from him. She tithed. Her tithe came, you know, she sent her tithe in. We received it. We blessed it like we're supposed to do. And then God said, oh, yeah, watch me do this. Here comes the windows of heaven open. But she had to receive that word and have faith in that word. But if you and I are resisting the word in any area, then we're in danger of that Psalm 119, verse 10, wandering away from the word. I'm going to be quiet or you will be here all night answering my questions.
Now, Audrey has a really good question.
Hi.
I asked God to harden my heart so I could divorce my first husband because he was evil. Is my heart still hard?
Well, I know that the words you used is, I asked God to harden my heart, and I don't deny the fact that you said that. I don't think what you had to do was harden your heart. You had to stiffen your brain. You had to get a reality going where you said, hold it, I got to make a choice. And that choice has to be an intellectual decision to get away from this, which would hurt me and my children. That's not, I mean, if you hardened your heart, there's no place in the Bible that says, here's three steps of how to harden your heart. That is not of God. So there could be a hard heart still in you. Thank you for being transparent. But the idea is, in those situations like that, you don't need to be hard-hearted. You need to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. You got to look at people and say, I'm not living that way no more. No more, no how. And then make a decision and keep moving. And of course, every time we talk about divorce, I'm going to say it again every time we say it, and that is, wait, don't just point your finger at everybody else. Always make sure you're looking at yourself, because it takes two to tangle. There ain't no place that that's any other way. Now, if you're being abused, there's no place in God that you have to stay and be abused. That is never God's will, ever, ever. And hear me out. Some women, God said to the woman, leave. Some women, God said to the woman, leave and love him. Some women stayed and were beaten, and the man never changed, saying, I'm loving him. Well, they weren't soft-hearted to him. They were dumb. I mean, does that make sense what I'm saying? If he's beating you, you got to get out of there. But you don't have to divorce. I don't know. Am I making sense? Sort of. I'll stay on in just a minute. Mary, you didn't ask the question. She did. So right now, you're riding safe. Listen to my statement. In my life as a preacher, I've seen women leave and divorce. And justly so. I've seen women led by the Spirit leave, not divorce, intercede, but from a place where he couldn't be.
Thank you.
Right? And the man changed. I've also seen women that wouldn't leave and were still beaten, and the man never changed, and the woman became so abused, she was never the same. Well, Pastor, which one of those is the best? The one the Holy Spirit leads you into. The best one is to be able to leave, take you and your family, and be safe. And if you truly love the person, and love was truly the factor in it, or God put you together, however you want to say it, then you can do that from the side, on the outside, saying, I love you, but we ain't doing that together. Not another day. Because that's never God's plan. Ever is that God's plan for a woman and her children to be abused.
No.
Ever.
No. And you know, Audrey, God would not harden your heart, because that's something that he's against, because he knows it damages you. So
right.
If you asked him to harden your heart, he didn't do it.
He did not choice. He did not, right. Very good. Very good, love. That's very good. God did not harden your heart, because God would not do that. God gives you in wisdom.
Right.
You don't have to harden your heart to have wisdom. If a pastor, I still love them. It don't matter. Love them from 10 miles.
From a safe distance.
Right? Love them behind a door you can lock and he don't have a key from. I had a choice. I chose to leave. There you go. There's no place. There's no place in the Bible that God says a woman has to stay and be beaten. In the day we live, there's no place in the Bible that a man has to stay and be beaten. But we're in a different day than then. But the point of what I'm saying is, remember, God, there's no verse in the Bible that tells anybody to harden their heart. There's no biblical process in the Bible that teaches us how to harden our heart to save ourselves. We get the wisdom of the word. Faith comes inside of us, and we function from faith and wisdom, not from hardness or softness. Am I getting my statement out? Am I saying it enough to get it out? Mary, me too. But every time I say yes to Jesus' word, makes me feel so good and joyful, I just need to tell someone something. Amen? He becomes your confidence, because Jesus can do nothing of himself, so we became him, so to speak, for real. Amen. He can show you the way out. and he can give you the strength to do it. Amen. Amen. I mean, that I know I heard a story one time of a lady who divorced her husband because he became a homosexual. The man went and lived in a homosexual for 5 years. She never quit praying for him. She said, I got the promise of my husband. I ain't giving up. Never gave up. One day he came face to face with a wall and bowed his knee to Jesus. Listen to this story. And came back to her. And today they're powerful pastors in a great city.
Wow.
But see, none of that's about hard-heartedness. That's about wisdom and following the word in faith. Faith is the center of our life. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And how do you get it in? You speak it out of your mouth, you believe it in your heart, and now you've got faith. Your spirit man is in perfect communion with Almighty God. Now you just got to get your brain, your mind, to get in that same place. And you know what I love about this group?
They're awesome.
This is the most determined group I've ever met in my life to be filled with faith. You guys are the most determined group of people I have ever met to be filled with faith. I have to tell you, I've been in a church I didn't want to leave because the worship music was awesome. Here, I don't want to leave because of the wisdom of the word I'm learning. Glory be to God. Amen, Mary. Amen. We don't want you to leave. If you ever leave, we're going to come hunt you down. I'll send Francetta to get you. Because
yeah.
She ain't that far from you. In Jesus' mighty name. How do we do? We all right?
I think we're all right.
Should we circle the wagons one more time?
We all made it through this.
Hey, I just checked the fuel gauge on the old John Deere, and we still got about half a tank of fuel left. So we just had to fill up that one time in the beginning and keep plowing.
Oh, yeah, it can be true.
That's very true. Very true. Very true. I had many people sit in front of me as a pastor. I had a guy call me one day and he said, I've been married for 50 years. I've had an affair with my wife for 39 years. Can I please have marriage counseling from you? And I'm like, oh, my Lord, what do I have to say to somebody like this? Well, I'm like, yeah, sure, come on. And he'd been married for 50 minus 39. He was married for 11 years. And his wife never wanted to do anything with him. She would not travel with him. He was an executive for Ford, traveled all over the nation. His secretary traveled with him everywhere he went. Sinfully, not naturally, sinfully, he began to have an affair with him. His wife found out. She said, I don't care. Just pay my bills and come home for the weekend. She said. I said, and what did you do? He said, I hated that life. So he said, I've been in an affair with this woman my whole life. I said, dude, you better get your act together because you're going to be sitting in a cabin somewhere with a pistol in your mouth. He said, I have the pistol and I know the cabin.
Wow.
That's what the man said, sitting right in front of me.
Wow.
Did she sin against him? No. Not in sexual sin. She was so wrong to him. Her kids hated her. Ready? And they went to church every week. And his biggest question is, if I get divorced, what will the church say? I'm like, dude, you've had an affair for 39 years. What's the church saying already? Why did everybody, we're in divorce class now, everybody, this is divorce 101. Why did God allow the Israelites to have divorce What's the number one reason, and really the only reason, God allows divorce? Anybody know?
The hardness of their heart.
Because of the hardness of their heart. Somebody just said, show me. Matthew 19, verse number 8. Actually, 7 and 8 and 9. Okay, the reference point is verses 1 through 12. Matthew 19, 1 through 12. Verse 7, the Pharisees said, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce to put her away? Verse 8, Moses, he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, except for sexual immorality, permitted you to divorce your wives from the beginning. It was not so. It was because of being hard-hearted. And then sexual immorality. But what sexual immorality? Hard-heartedness. Isn't this an interesting night
it
that
really
we've had tonight?
Interesting. Oh, my goodness. Been a little bit of everywhere. Mary, did you leave? If not, we love you. God bless your sleep. If you're still here, we're happy.
Yeah. Now, no matter what your past is, not only for those of you that's here, for those that come in the future, no matter what your past is, God forgives it and he strengthens you. And just like the woman at the well, she'd had five husbands. How many know that's not a very successful marriage life to person? I mean, you wouldn't think you would get divorced, married and divorced in the same year, but that probably lasted her for a while in her lifetime. But just five times, at least she wasn't a quitter. But Jesus didn't condemn her, and Jesus is not condemning you. But what's the whole point of this message tonight? Learn the faith process. Number one, see the vision, see the picture. Number two, write it out. You got to fine-tune that picture, what it is you're looking for. Number three, write the word confession of that vision. Number four, speak the word immediately. They were at the other side. Number five, receive the harvest in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, here's one of my confessions I made. All right? I'll give you a simple one. This is one of them that I wrote out. Oh, come on. Every time we leave our house right here, Sister Leanne and I, we walk out the door and turn around and lock it. On the door, it literally says, I have set before you. No, it says, we are blessed when we come in and blessed when we go out of Deuteronomy. That verse automatically leads us to the next verse that says, I have set before you an open door which no man can shut. I'm just pausing. I've copied and pasted, but it decided that it wanted to do something else besides let me to copy and paste. So I'm just pausing a little bit, see if this will work. Isn't that something? The favor of the Lord is very specifically on my life. Exodus 12, 36. I am God's favorite child. Romans 8, 14 through 17. When Jesus returns to this earth, he will find faith in me. Luke 18, 8. I have not seen such faith, not in all of Israel. I am that man today. Bless the Lord, my source, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, I see what happened. It's in there twice. God bless you, Facebook. Just work right. What did I do? I put that right on my door so that every time I walk out the door, I could make that confession. Bless the Lord. Oh, my source, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 7. Very simple, but I would speak it out loud, and those verses are now hid in my heart, and anytime I need them, they come up out of me. In Jesus' mighty name. All right, time to be done. Can't see any more comments. It's okay. It's okay. Last night we went long, and tonight's been hard plowing. Tonight's good, but we're dealing with one of the toughest subjects, which was money, but it's not a message on money. The toughest subject is you can't just look at God and say, God, do it for me. He is not going to do the renewing of your mind for you. If you don't renew your mind, it will not be renewed. The psalmist and the brother Paul both said, it's you are the one. Well, I'll say it bigger. The psalmist, brother Joshua, and brother Paul all said that we are the ones, you and I are the ones that have to renew our mind in order for it to be renewed. Because if we don't choose to renew it, it won't be renewed. You'll be born again and you'll be working every day to be the wise virgin and end up on the short end of the stick saying, I don't have enough oil in my lantern. Because God doesn't renew our minds for us. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit and his word so that we will do it. And as we move, he empowers us to be blessed. We become partakers of his very divine nature, according to the great and precious promise, exceedingly great and precious promise. In the mighty name of Jesus. 2022, I am rewarding you. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to reward you for all of your works. Glory be to God. Our verse of the month is, I am your exceedingly great reward. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray. Yes, Francetta, that's right. Exactly right. We're born again by faith. We're filled with the Spirit by faith. We receive Jesus' righteousness by faith. We receive the revelation of his word by faith. If you think about it, reading the Bible, very specific verses, what is that going to produce? There's 10,000 people to read it and produce nothing. But when we receive it by faith and speak it in faith, now we grow to a new level of spiritual strength. And then we work for our crowns. This is one of those messages you're probably going to have to go back to and listen again and again. If you go to YouTube, it'll just be the message. You ready? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that no matter what this day brought, we brought the word to it. And it is 10 o'clock Central and 11 o'clock Eastern. And we can say we conquered this day with the word of God. Bless our friends in the Eastern time zone. May their sleep be filled with peace and complete rest. May their spirit man instruct them and teach them as they sleep. May the young men see dreams and the old men have visions. And your Holy Spirit be poured out on the men servants and the maid servants and all of us prophesy. May this month, every one of us be free from so many bondages that when we take a look at us in February, we say, would you look at what the Lord has done? Look at what the Lord has done. Give you glory and we give you honor. And we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. Now, I need to have another Zoom with you guys and talk to you about tomorrow night's Friday. We'll receive communion and then we'll talk about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, 31. Maybe you're new with us tonight. This is the first time you receive communion. We welcome you to receive it with us. You might say, Pastor, I don't know how to be a Christian. I'm not born again. I don't go to church, but I've always seen it and I want to be a part of it. Well, that's what this program's for, and that's why God led you here. Thank you for being here. Watch. We're going to read the Word of God. We're going to pray for you to be born again. You'll be made right with God. You'll receive the communion elements your very first day of being born again. And all of it's going to happen in a matter of a few minutes. Ready? Here we go. This is the most enjoyable communion service I've ever been a part of. You might say, well, yeah, you're doing it. No, it's because the Holy Spirit gave this to me. And thousands of people's lives have been blessed and changed. Here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is the head, so are we the body in this world. Perfect love cast out fear and all the torment that goes with it. Have you ever been tormented by the fears inside of you? God's love casts it out. It'll be gone in the past. There's no fear in love. God's not in heaven with a club. He's standing with his arms wide open, ready to embrace you. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I encourage you to pray this prayer with us. We're getting ready to pray. It's a prayer of salvation. It's a prayer of rededication. If you pray it and mean it from your heart, no matter who you are, you'll be right with God in a matter of 2 minutes. Ready? Pray this prayer with me now tonight. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:60.
And according to John 3:60.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you.
And I thank
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
In my heart, I believe in you.
In my heart, I believe in you.
And I reach out and receive you.
And I reach out and receive
into my life.
Into my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Receive it. Say this, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Enjoy the life of the Holy Spirit.
Enjoy the life of the Holy Spirit.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Glad to have you. This is who we are. This is what we look like. You are now born again. You are now a believer in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away and all things become new. In that one prayer, you went from darkness to light. Because God never does something to you. He takes you from to. You went from fear to faith. Fear because you'd sinned, and sin produces death and hell. But now faith, because as soon as you said, I receive you, Jesus, he fills you with his faith. You went from your sin, which you couldn't beat, to Jesus' righteousness, which he was perfect. He was perfect. And he gave it to you to just receive it. The Father looked over at Jesus and said, adopt him into the family. Jesus has now made you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Everything that belongs to him belongs to you. That was the wisest thing you ever did, was pray that prayer from the depths of your heart. And now, what's your responsibility? Just walk with God every day of your life. If you walk with us, we'll show you how to walk with God, and your life will never be the same. Say this prayer with me. Jesus, help me live for you today.
Jesus, help me live for you today.
Amen.
Amen.
You can pray that prayer. If you mean that prayer, he'll not only help you pray it every day, but help you live it and take you to newer levels of things. That's how he is. Put my email address and website in there. Send me an email and say, Pastor, I just got born again to receive communion for the first time tonight. That would be wonderful. I would be glad to hear that story. Tell me a prayer request. Whatever. Tell me a story. I want to know that you're walking with God. If I get 10,000 of them in the morning, I'll get them all answered one way or another. I guarantee you. Because my place is to help you function in your place, in God, in Jesus' mighty name. All right. We're ready to receive the communion elements. Run and get you some bread and water, bread and juice. Don't stub your toe. Take your phone with you and receive communion right in the kitchen. Our website's there. You can find some very good messages on there. And some valuable links. And we're going to keep working this YouTube thing because, man, that's a powerful tool right there, that YouTube is. I've now started a thread. You guys can find a YouTube
playlist.
Yeah, not thread. Playlist. That is entitled Read the Word. If you click on it, click the big red play button, you'll be able to hear us read the book, the Bible through chronologically as we go this year. And what a blessing it is to have that with you in Jesus' name. Are you ready? Let's receive our communion elements. Now that you're born again, you're ready to pray your first prayer as a brand new believer. Isn't this so cool? I think it's one of the most amazing things that God's ever showed us, is it will lead you in a prayer of salvation and then offer you communion immediately. That's only the Holy Spirit, because you don't find too many other people doing that. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
From the depths of your heart, pray this prayer. Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my soul and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing's missing, nothing's broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us receive his broken body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That for me, you endured that cross, despised the shame. Wow. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And we thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague.
Has to pass over.
Has to pass
and
over.
Cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or
my conscience family. Is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made
and
white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
Glorious.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. To Jesus. We usually sing a song about the blood, a way to worship God. That's just following Jesus' example after the last Passover. And they took communion. The Bible says they sang a hymn and they went out. So let's sing it. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, thanks for being with us. What you saw tonight is a group of believers so determined to get God's word and to grow in God that we ain't letting nothing stop us, nothing keep us from the almighty, ever powerful, absolutely amazing word of God. We call you blessed tonight. Thank you for being mighty believers. Now watch. After all of that feeling out of sorts, remember this. You are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. All we learned tonight is our personal responsibility that helps us get it done. Ready? Our closing verse for tonight. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read 8, 9, and 10. 8, 9, and 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, one believes to righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's the process. With the heart or the mouth, faith comes to you. Till we see you again tomorrow at noon to pray and to conquer some more of this great day that we live in and stand in faith. We thank you for what you do and who you are. Thank you for being the greatest group of believers I think I've ever met in my life. Never have I met another group that is so determined to walk with God and be like him in Jesus' mighty name. And you're doing it. If he comes tonight, no matter how much you struggled today while you're fasting and getting closer to him, if he comes tonight, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. How cool is that?
Awesome.
That's very cool. Till we see you again, this is what we have to say. We love you.
We love you.
And God bless you. Blog Talk Radio. Well, all right then. And Jesus is Lord.